For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today from Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is called the Epistle of Joy. Paul was in prison. Paul was chained, probably between two guards. And yet, this little letter is just filled with joy. And he speaks about sacrifice and suffering and a poured out life and dying to ourselves. How can we be talking about things like that and be joyful? Well, old Christians who have walked with the Lord for many years, people who have been my great tutors in the faith, have been people who have suffered and people who were filled with joy. The same people I'm talking about. I've mentioned on this program a number of times dear Corrie ten Boom, an old Dutch lady that I saw a number of times. Many of you probably saw her film, The Hiding Place, but it was a true story of her and her family being captured and put into concentration camp during World War II because of their harboring of Jews in Holland, which was forbidden. And if there's one thing that I think everybody would agree who saw Corrie ten Boom, either on the screen or in person, if there's one thing we would agree on about her, it would be that her face radiated joy. It was an old face. She was in her 80s before she stopped tramping all around the world, giving her testimony for God. But if ever I saw a joyful face, it was Corrie ten Boom, not because everything in her life had worked so wonderfully, but because she accepted the most unimaginably difficult conditions for Christ's sake. Let's pray that the Lord will give us a deepened awareness of who He is. This God who is so immeasurably beyond us. Pray that He will keep us in an attitude of humble adoration and awe. Yet He Himself is so closely with us as to encourage our fullest trust and love. Now, I do want to help others to love God. If someone should ask me, what is the purpose of your life? I might define it this way: to love God and to make Him loved and to lay down my life to that end. But I know that I will only teach others to love God when they can see that I love Him, that love is at the very center, even in the sometimes messy confines of our homes, the unpredictability of personalities of each member of the family, and the tiring, implacable demands of keeping everybody fed and cleaned. Now, of course, I'm speaking to you housewives right at this moment. You understand, and yet the love of God should be at the center of all that wearying activity. I wish I had time to read the whole epistle, but I'm going to read to you from chapter 3 from Philippians. Remember, this is all part of what Paul wrote when he was in prison. Finally, my brothers, he says, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Now remember, I need to pause right here and say, remember that Paul was a Jew, and he came from the highest and most strict kind of Jewish sect, and he was, of course, a circumcised man, as all Jewish males were. But here he's talking about spiritual circumcision. Paul knew that God had admitted the Gentiles into the faith as well. And the Gentiles did not need to be physically circumcised, but only those who are circumcised in heart. In other words, who have put no confidence in the flesh. Only those are the true believers. Makes no difference outwardly whether they are Jews or Gentiles. He says, we who are the circumcision, meaning spiritually, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though, he says, I myself have reasons for such confidence. He had all the reasons that any proud and religious Jew would have. He says, if anyone else thinks that he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But now listen to this. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul discards, as it were, all human qualifications. And he acknowledges the fact that all of that, all the things that the world honors and respects, are nothing but rubbish by comparison with knowing Christ. He's able to say, I have, in fact, lost everything for his sake. Not many of us can say that. I certainly can't. But we can put our faith in the same Jesus Christ in whom Paul puts his faith. And we can receive, by faith, the righteousness that comes from God. Is anyone listening to me today who can honestly say, without fear of equivocation and with round-eyed solemnity, I live up to all my goals. I live up to all my expectations for myself. Is there anybody that can say that? I can't even imagine it. Most of us don't even come close to our expectations for ourselves, let alone to God's expectations for us. We could look at ourselves in despair when we look at God's standard, which is perfection. But Paul says that the righteousness comes through faith. Very simple, comes from God, and it is by faith. And then Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Many of you truly, honestly, deeply, sincerely want to know Christ. I don't understand anybody who wouldn't want to know Christ. We would like to know the power of his resurrection. But Paul says he also wants the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And we can't really know Christ, and we certainly can't know the power of the resurrection without the cross, without crucifixion. And in another epistle, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. And here's this man who's talking about crucifixion and death, constantly saying, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, be joyful, not in what's happening, but in the Lord. Are your problems the center of your focus? Paul is telling us that God is the center of his. We are to put no dependence on our lineage, on our religious zeal, on our legalistic righteousness. Christ is all. To me, life is Christ, he says in the first chapter, verse 21. To me, life is Christ, and death is gain. There's a poem called St. Paul that ends with these words, "So through life, death, through sorrow and through sinning, Christ shall suffice me, for he hath sufficed. Christ is the end, for Christ was the beginning. Christ the beginning, for the end is Christ." How much sympathy do you think Paul found in prison between those two guards? Did Paul have counseling available to him then? Some of the things that we feel so dependent upon nowadays, other people's understanding, other people hovering over us and propping us up and surrounding us with love and help and kindness and sympathy, he had none of that. And as for counseling, the kind of counseling that people talk about today was unheard of in Paul's day. If we have not reached the spiritual altitude that Paul reached, let's not be discouraged or defeated or disgusted. Paul's Lord is ours. He's there waiting for you to call on him, waiting for you to come to him. A Christian can confidently say, "I am his and he is mine." May God help us to accept what he offers. In Jesus' name.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.